Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey everyone, Josh Norris here with another episode of the Roto-World Football Podcast. To cap off the week three editions of this podcast, obviously on Tuesday we had Ray Summerlin and myself talking waivers in the news. On Thursday you had Ray, Nick, and Rich Rebar, which is a podcast you should listen to if you haven't yet. And then today it's myself and Evan Silva talking about matchups, some really, really great stuff. Especially about some wide receivers who should have great weeks. Amari Cooper, Jeremy Maclin, so on and so forth. Maybe even a Ryan Tannehill mention. Then we move on to Pat, the lovable Roto Pat, Patrick Doherty. And he has to defend his rankings in the ever-popular Pick on Pat segment. And I did want to mention that and thank everyone for subscribing and sharing this podcast. If you rate and review it, it helps us reach more listeners, and it's the best way for us to get our name out there and this podcast out there. And to all of you that have taken 10, 15 seconds to do that, it really, really has helped. But without further ado, let's head on now to my conversation with Evan Silva. Hope you enjoy it. All right, Evan Silva, let's start with the quarterback this week. Miami's at home, favored, implied 25-point total by Vegas. What do you think of Ryan Tannehill as a play this week, I guess, a streaming or in daily leagues?
I think he's a great, great fantasy play this week. Anywhere that I own him, I want to use him. I think that the return of Devontae Parker, even if he's only at 80%, is a huge boon to the Dolphins' offense. In Rich Reeb's worksheet this week, he noted how Jarvis Landry actually is more productive with Devontae Parker in the lineup, which is not something that you would normally think. You know, you think, oh, well, there's another receiver there. You know, he's stealing production from right. The other guy. That's not how it works. You know, it's a situation where there's a guy on the outside and there's a guy on the inside, and the offense straight up is just better when Devontae Parker is out there.
Yeah.
The Browns have also shown signs of being a funnel defense. And what I mean by that is that they have been stopping the run pretty well, only allowing 3.7 yards per carry on the ground in their first two games, and the Dolphins don't have a running game really at all. I mean, Arian Foster, even if he was in there, he would be a guy that was primarily just catching passes, and they'd use the run as a changeup. Their running game overall is just broken. I mean, they're starting four left tackles on the offensive line. They don't have their center. They should be able to impose their will with the passing game this week. I love Ryan Tannehill. I love Jarvis Landry. I think that one additional note about Ryan Tannehill is that the Dolphins are running him a lot so far this year. He had five rushing attempts and a rushing TD in week one at Seattle. And last week, he had six rushing attempts for 35 yards. So that brings up Ryan Tannehill's floor and raises his ceiling. Love Evan, Ryan Tannehill in daily fantasy.
Did you know that Ryan Tannehill is a former wide receiver? Like, I don't think that's ever talked about. Okay, I'm kidding.
Did you know that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard?
Did you know Nick O'Leary is Jack Nicklaus's grandson? Okay, I do want to ask, though, about Ryan Tannehill. Like, I know what all the stats point to, but, like, I know you watch every game every single week. How is he, like, playing when you're watching? Because that's always been a big debate with Ryan Tannehill from both sides.
I mean, I think he's an inconsistent player. But they really got rolling in the second half against New England. And I know that if you just look at the box score, the game cast, it looks like that, you know, they were just piling up stats in garbage time mode. But the Dolphins made that game close. They can't. I mean, I think that if it would have gone to overtime, they would have won the game. They wound up losing by 7. Tannehill was just white hot in the second half of the game. Patriots just don't have that much pass rush, but neither do the Browns. I think that Ryan Tannehill is playing with more confidence. He started the season with two really, really rough spots at Seattle and at New England.
Yeah.
And I think that going back home now against a weak pass defense who does a reasonable job of stopping the run, I mean, they're favored by 9.5 points and right. They don't have a running game, Josh. So that means that even late in the game to try to put the Browns away, they're not going to be able to put it in a big running back's belly and let him kill the clock. They're going to have to keep throwing to Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker, and Ryan Tannehill should be racking up stats all game regardless of the flow of the game.
And to add another Lord Reeb stat, Miami has trailed for 91% of their offensive snaps this season, which is pretty kooky. Let's move on to Stephon Diggs. Obviously, breakout campaign on what? Was that Monday Night Football?
Yep.
It was one of those.
Sunday
Night Football. All the days kind of run together now, Evan. Stephon Diggs, more Reeves stuff. 55% of Minnesota's receiving yards this year in terms of a market share and 40% of your receptions. But he's going up against Carolina Panthers and away, a road dog in this case. So what do you think about Stephon Diggs this week against Carolina?
So a lot of things are going to change with the Vikings offense minus Adrian Peterson. And they are going to become a more pass-oriented offense. Number one, they lost AP. But number two, they haven't been able to run block at all. Every single one of their offensive linemen has a negative run blocking grade from Pro Football Focus. They are averaging 1.9 yards per carry. And you could say, Adrian Peterson was done. First of all, I don't think that he was done necessarily. I think that he had no room to run, and he was being hit in the backfield consistently.
So
I don't think that the Vikings are going to go to Carolina and be able to run the football
right
on the Panthers. And they're going to generate offense, even if it's not a lot of offense. They're going to generate offense somehow, and Stephon Diggs is going to be the focal point of the Vikings offense. I mean, he is in a spot right now, Josh, where he could finish like top five in the NFL in targets.
I love it. And I mean, just a ninth round. Evan, we talked about him all summer, right?
I know. You remember we talked about how people were going to sour on him when the Vikings lost Teddy Bridgewater. I mean,
correct.
His ADP immediately dropped by like 3 rounds.
Correct. I got him in the ninth round in almost every league that I was in.
That's awesome, dude. Do not trade him away. Do not sell him high. Hold on to him. Use him this week in DFS. I looked up his price on FanDuel. You know, he's leading the NFL in receiving yards by like 60, and he's the wide receiver 42
wow.
on FanDuel this week.
And I'll say this, as much
what we call that, Josh, is a free square.
and again, a lot of people talked about the Panthers' corners this offseason because there's no more Josh Norman. I'll say that the Panthers' safeties have played worse in the corners, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see a deep play from Stephon Diggs, obviously, in this game as well.
And he's been running around so much. Like, he's playing 40% of his snaps in the slot where he's going to draw Robert McClain. I mean, Stephon Diggs looks uncoverable right now. I mean, his game is reaching another level. And then he usually gets his snaps outside against left corners where he will draw James Bradbury, who I know has played pretty well, but he's still a second-round rookie correct. Out of Samford, and I'm going to bet on Stephon Diggs over James Bradbury 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, Diggs is turning into one of my bigger misses as of late. But, I mean, the NFL missed on him too, right? He was a fifth-round pick. So.
Yep, so you can feel better about yourself.
If the NFL gets it wrong, so do I. Amari Cooper, let's move on to him, Evan. Each podcast during the offseason, we discussed how we were kind of hesitant about Amari Cooper because he doesn't get end zone targets. But I know you've been super impressed with how he started his season these first two games.
Well, he had 0 targets inside the opposing 10-yard line last year. He has two so far. I still, like, when you actually watch the game, I still feel like Derek Carr is not looking at him when they're in scoring position. I mean, he's looking at Seth Roberts. He's looking at Walford. He's looking at Crabtree. Crabtree caught the game-winning two-point conversion in week one, had a two-yard touchdown last week. But it's there on the stat sheet that that Amari Cooper has two targets inside the 10-yard line. So that's good news. I think that people will not be super excited about Amari Cooper because one thing happened in last week's game that took a monster play off the board. Amari Cooper got open over the middle, made this just, I mean, his acceleration in the open field was godlike. I mean, just outrunning every single defensive back in the Falcons, secondary. But the touchdown was called back because Desmond Trufant pushed him out of bounds. So he loses this, like, 60-yard TD that would have taken his stat line from, 570 or whatever it was to 130 and a touchdown, which would have had everybody excited, would have made his salary in daily fantasy that much bigger. I think he blows it up against the Titans, who gave up 7-103 to Stephon Diggs in week one and gave up 8-118 to Marvin Jones in week two. And the Titans are also a little bit of a funnel defense led by Jarrell Casey. They have played really stout run defense in their first two games. And I think that Amari Cooper, these teams played in week 12 last year, and Amari Cooper went 7-115. I think he has a bigger game than that this week. I think that Amari Cooper is going to have a potentially special season. I think it begins in week three.
And if you get rid of the short Latavius touchdowns, then he hasn't done much. And maybe some of that opens up for Amari. I mean, Oakland has scored a touchdown on 36% of their drives, which leads the NFL. Okay, let's move on to one more wide receiver, Jeremy Maclin, Evan. Kind of Mr. Consistent as wide receiver two over the last few years. This week, he's at home against the Jets. I know Revis has been banged up in practice this week, right? So how does Maclin's outlook look for Sunday?
Well, this is another funnel situation because the Jets shut down opposing rushing attacks. And Jeremy Maclin did not have a big stat line last week, but he did have 15 targets. He had a couple of drops. I mean, not a great game by him. You know, that'll happen sometimes. But now he gets to go face Revis Resort, where AJ Green had 12 for 180 in a TD in week one. Marquise Goodwin, you know, who really isn't even a wide receiver. He's just a guy who runs down the field, had an 84-yard touchdown.
Burned him
bad. I mean, he looks a step slow. Jeremy Maclin, I mean, a step slow would be a kind way of putting it. Jeremy Maclin has plenty of speed and quickness to get by Darrell Revis. And he's going to have to be – he and Travis Kelce are going to have to be the primary means of the Chiefs moving the ball because, you know, the Chiefs are still missing their two starting guards. And the Jets have the best defensive line in football. I mean, just a bunch of big, tough, road-grading run stoppers who can also collapse the pocket. And, I mean, that's a little bit of a concern for Alex Smith, obviously. But the targets are going to be there. I mean, Jeremy Maclin right now is fifth in the NFL in targets. And it's just kind of bad luck, or he just had a bad game last week, and I think he bounces back really big in week three.
And targets probably won't go to Travis Kelce, or at least they shouldn't if you're looking back on what the Jets have done against tight ends, as they've only allowed one top 10 tight end the last 18 weeks. Let's finish up with a tight end, Evan. Delanie Walker had a huge week last week against the Detroit Lions, I believe. Why are you on him once again, back-to-back weeks against the aforementioned Oakland Raiders?
Yeah, he was one of the guys we discussed last week, wasn't he?
I believe so, or at least I've discussed him in other places.
Oh, so it's just all blending together for you?
Yeah, dude, it all blends. I mean, days are just like flying by right now, man.
No, I know, I know.
I'm learning your life, how it is.
So the Falcons gave up, I'm sorry, the Raiders gave up 10 catches for 180 yards and two touchdowns. I'm sorry, 10 catches for 180 yards and a touchdown to the Falcons tight ends last week. Levine Toilolo, T-O-L, I'm sorry, T-O-I,
yeah,
capital L, capital O, capital L, O-L-O.
Okay, good joke, Evan. That was well done. I thought you were spelling that out so I could enter him on my FanDuel team.
Jacob Tammy had a huge game. Austin Cooper had three catches for 84. Ben Heaney, the Raiders inside linebacker, who is replacing Curtis Lofton, essentially, he got benched in the fourth quarter. And Carl Joseph, their first-round pick, has not been able to get on the field. So they've been playing Keith McGill, a former cornerback from Utah.
Utah. Dang it.
They've been playing him at strong safety, and he got just destroyed last week. I mean, I don't even know. You know, hopefully they trot him back out there this week. But this is a great, great spot for Delanie Walker, who this was a game that I watched on Sunday, and I watched it particularly closely because I wanted to see how they used Delanie. And, I mean, they lined him up in the slot where he could actually match up with DJ Hayden, which would be another great, great matchup for Delanie.
Yeah.
And they were throwing him some tight end screens. He only had six targets, but he caught them all for over 80 yards and a TD. And I know that he was – you know, he's a guy coming off a big week, but it's okay to keep riding a guy, you know, especially in daily fantasy. I think that Delanie Walker has another big, big game.
And the Raiders are the first team to allow back-to-back 500-yard games in the first two games of the season. So,
yeah, they have allowed more passing yards than anybody in the NFL by more than 100 yards.
That's amazing. And it's supposed to be like a rebuilt Raiders defense, too. That's kind of funny.
They can't get any pressure with their front four.
Right.
You know, they have the issues in the middle of the field.
Right.
They've already had to bench two of their starters, Sean Smith and Ben Heaney. I mean, it's been a really disappointing start for the Raiders. I still think that they have enough talent to come around later in the season, but right now we're going to be attacking them.
And once again, you can all check out Evan's matchup column or matchups column on rotoworld.com, both obviously for the weekend and Monday night, and really covers everything. It's a lot of words there, Evan, isn't it? Thanks so much. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
And now let's transition over to Patrick Doherty with rankings that he has on rotoworld.com right now. And he obviously updates them with injuries and any news that happens throughout Sunday, almost up until kickoff. So check those out and check out this interview right now with Pat. All right, the award-winning segment, Pick on Pat, is back for its second installment. Pat, after the success we had last week, people have been commenting and raving about my 15-minute discussion with you every single week. How do you feel about that?
I'm feeling great. I'm hearing stuff like Tonys, Oscars, Grammys. This is transcending genres, transcend art mediums.
When you said Tonys, does that mean we have to sing through this segment?
Yeah, well, there's going to be anything this successful. There's always a Broadway show at some point, you know.
Oh. So, see, I don't watch. I don't watch. What are they even called? Like Friends and what are those shows called? Like they have.
Are you trying to describe sitcoms?
Yes, I forgot the word sitcoms. Isn't there like always like one like theater episode in terms of musical theater, like
that's a very tried and true sitcom trope. Yes,
yeah.
You got it. And they're always like the least favorite episode. They're the ones that they take out of syndication.
Got it.
Like, oh yeah, no one wants to watch the singing episode. You know, 1997, David Schwimmer singing about Bill Clinton.
We should do that in week 17, since everyone's like championship is done.
Are you secretly a song and dance man?
I cannot sing at all.
I didn't ask if you could sing, but
I played Santa Claus in my fourth grade play, and I did a rap.
I feel like secretly you probably harbor song and dance man. Like that's just something you aspire towards.
Yes, you caught me. Like when I need to hype myself up, I listen to Oklahoma.
No, you listen to The Music Man. Yeah.
Yes, all those Fiddler on the Roof, all those.
Anyways,
I have a story about a musical that I'll share with you sometime. Anyways, okay, let's get into Pick on Pat. Let's start with Marcus Mariota. You know, a lot of people think that he's going to have a great week against the Raiders, that this is the matchup to play him. In fact, both quarterbacks to go up against the Raiders in the first 2 weeks have been quarterback twos. But Pat, as always, you have Marcus Mariota as quarterback 15.
Yeah, you know, I need to double check the stats. You know, I know the Raiders have allowed, I think it's 4,200 passing yards through the first 2 weeks.
Close. You're rounding up.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I don't think the Raiders defense is as bad as it's looked. And, you know, there's obviously a very plus matchup, as you laid out, with very straightforward statistics. It's just Marcus Mariota hasn't been that kind of player yet. You know, right. I think in his career, he's got four games where he has more than two touchdowns. And this year, you know, playing in a very conservative offense, only has four total scores, only has six rushing attempts, you know. I thought part of the exotic smash mouth was going to be kind of unleashing the dual threat, but as was the case last year, we're not seeing it at the rate we expected. And just, I'm still just kind of in prove it mode with Marcus Mariota, where, you know, he had a great matchup in the Lions and he didn't face plant, but he didn't exactly explode either. And I just kind of have reached believe it when I see it territory with Mariota.
Yeah, and they didn't really open up that offense until like the final series. Like, I hate this offense that they're running.
I know.
It's so constraining. Like, it's constraining him. And
well, you don't open up an exotic smash mouth is an oxymoron, you know?
Yes.
Like, this is supposed to be like seals slamming into each other, you know? There's nothing pretty about this.
Do you know what else is an oxymoron? Successful malarkey is another one. Let's move on to another matchup that people are going for, and that's Melvin Gordon III taking over as, I guess, the lead back in San Diego as running back seven. So, well, you have him as running back seven, excuse me. Let's talk about, one, his matchup, but two, because we bring up Melvin Gordon, Pat, we have to bring up Dexter McCluster.
I know.
Your boy. We have
to. I know. I've got to say, I think, you know, I won't lay claim to many accomplishments, but I think me, maybe more than anyone else in the football world, I think I did more than anyone else to make Dexter McCluster a meme. I'm not sure.
I would say so.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. That's one of my tombstone accomplishments, is memeifying Dexter McCluster. You know, I'd be lying if I felt great about having Melvin Gordon as the number seven overall running back this week. Yeah, I'm certainly not alone in that. You know, one of a very haunting sentence I wrote this summer was, I'm surprised no one's tweeted at me yet. I'm sure it's coming. But in my one-liner rankings for Melvin Gordon, I wrote, except for everything, comma, there's a lot to like. And so, yeah, a bit acidic there. And, you know, so far, he's looked like a pretty good player. RB5 overall, seems like he got a little bit of that home run hitting ability back. And, you know, again, I'm still not sold on Melvin Gordon the player, but he's facing the Colts, who I think have allowed the most fantasy points to opposing running backs. You know, he had like 27 touches last week after Danny Woodhead went down. And I very much think that the Chargers want to remain a two-back offense, but, you know, Dexter McCluster's only been in the fold 4 or 5 days. And I just think in a dream matchup, and, you know, I'd be shocked if it was fewer than 20 touches. I just think it's kind of all coming together for Gordon this week, and kind of one of those where you don't want to do it, but you kind of have no choice but to rank him where he is.
Yeah, and I have like three really good Lord Reeves things to relay to you. So Indianapolis has given up three running back 10s in 2 weeks. So Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick, and CJ Anderson. Last week, Melvin Gordon III was San Diego's first 100-yard rusher in 22 games, as you mentioned, on a ton of carries.
24.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, and they're a road underdog, though, you know? So that might be a factor when we look at back at this week and wonder why maybe Melvin Gordon didn't live up to expectations. Moving on to Charles Sims, obviously another back taking over as a lead ball carrier, except someone who has produced in the past. You have him as running back 12, Pat. Explain yourself.
Again, this feels really high to me, but, you know, this is a team, the Bucs averaged 34 running back touches per game last year. I've seen nothing through the first 2 weeks to me that suggests, you know, they're really going to reinvent the wheel that they had with Dirk Koetter and Jameis Winston last year. I think it's the same offense. I think one that they're still going to funnel a ton of touches into the backfield, and, you know, not exactly concerned about Jaquizz Rodgers behind Charles Sims. And, you know, I just think game flow will be in the Bucs' favor. And even if it's not, even if they're trailing, it's not like the Rams are going to get out to like a 3-touchdown lead. I think the game plan is going to stay conducive to running the ball. And I just envision a huge workload for Charles Sims. And, you know, maybe even if he only gets say, like, worst case scenario, he only gets like 10 or 11 carries and, you know, like 30 or 40 yards, it can still be like a Spencer Ware type thing where he makes up for it with 7 or 8 catches. So I just think the game flow is in his favor, the workload is in his favor, and really that's all you can ask for a lot of times. So I think Charles Sims belongs in that RB1 borderline.
And Tampa's a home favorite over the LA Rams in that game. Travis Benjamin, Pat, you have him as wide receiver 18. Obviously has gone off in the absence of Keenan Allen, especially last week against the Jaguars with Phillip Rivers. I'm not going to say fringe for, wide receiver one, but that's like right in the middle, in the meat of wide receiver two category.
Yes. And yeah, you know, not sure how, you know, again, this kind of thing where I'm not sure, you know, I don't like feel like I love it. I just feel like the facts kind of dictate it, where, you know, he's a huge play threat.
Right.
He's locked into volume, man. He's been hyper efficient so far. He's caught 13 of 14 targets, and, you know, he has experience kind of being the guy, and he was, you know, really kind of one of the most surprising players in football last year to the Browns. Quarterback situation just kind of fell apart. And he's just, you know, he's playing with one of the best quarterbacks of the modern era in a game that I think will be, you know, pretty high scoring. And, you know, his outlook could change a little bit if Vontae Davis returns. Mm-hmm. Right now, mm-hmm. does not look like Vontae Davis is going to play. Vontae comes back, then you might have to do a little rethink. But, yeah, again, I just think everything's kind of set up in Travis Benjamin's favor to kind of build on the big week he had last week.
Pat, I absolutely love Randall Cobb. Like, I drafted Randall Cobb in far too many leagues because I guess I remember 2 years ago when he was just the man and this offense was actually functional. Now this offense is not functional, and Randall Cobb has just one top 30 wide receiver game in his last 10 games. But, Pat, yeah, you have him as wide receiver 27, so you're expecting a second.
Wait, you think that's high or low?
I think that's super 27? High.
Really?
Not super high, but I'll say this. I think right now Randall Cobb is like the end of wide receiver three category just based on what he's done in recent weeks and what the Packers offense has done.
That's fair. Yeah, to me, wide receiver 27 felt kind of low. But I thought maybe I was getting out in front on having – I had Cobb really low last week. I think maybe like 30th. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You laid it out pretty well there. In the Packers' defense, I guess, you know, they haven't played a home game yet, and this will be the home opener. But you laid out, like, all the concerns there about the offense. And, you know, he's averaging 52 yards over his past 18 games. Hasn't scored in 8 games. Has only 6 touchdowns since the beginning of last year. And so, yeah, I think, you know, he's still probably almost guaranteed for 6 or 7 catches, which kind of locks you into that mid-range wide receiver 3 range. And maybe he's due. Is the due principle, do we still believe in that? That's very analytic, right? Being due. But, yeah, to me, 27 fell low. Maybe I got to do a rethink there because, yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of off the Cobb train.
Well, Pat, get to working on those show tunes for next week.
And yeah, tomorrow I'm alerting our higher-ups tomorrow. I'm taking a leave of absence to write you a play.
Okay. I'll act it out. I'll do all the voices. You can all find Pat's rankings, obviously, on rotoworld.com. They're up now. They're updated until Sunday. Pat's always working throughout the weekend. At least I think so. So, Pat, talk to you next week, my man.
Later, Josh.
Again, thanks so much for listening, and thank you for rating and reviewing and subscribing. iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you do it. Again, it helps us out. Takes 30 seconds. I really, really do appreciate it. And until next time, really, until Tuesday, I'll talk to you all soon.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.